You want to get in right now because I've got three interviews and they're in the second half of the program. It's going to be tough to get through right now, so you want to call 1-800-636-8686. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Top story this morning, the Broncos trading for Joe Flacco. Not official yet, but reportedly he will go there when the NFL season is officially underway, the business season. And again, if I'm a Bronco fan, there's no reason to be excited about that. Give me one reason to be excited about that. 5 years ago, 7 years ago, maybe. But right now, to me, John Elway needs this to work badly because none of his quarterback moves have worked since he brought in Peyton Manning. And how a guy who played the position as well as anybody's ever played it could have so much trouble finding a guy to play that position, to me, makes no sense at all. But he's had that trouble. Look at who he's brought in. Look at the trouble they've had. And they continue to waste a really good defense, a really talented defense. So I'm looking for your thoughts. In the meantime, Vegas does not like that move. Pat Morrow is the head odds maker for Bovada. He tweets, quote, "The Broncos have moved from 100 to 1 to 125 to 1 to win next year's Super Bowl." At hey. Bovada official. Hey, that does not speak well for that move. You make a move to get better. You make a move to lower your odds. So the first reaction from Vegas is not a positive one. And Vegas is not always right. You know, they set lines so they can make money. They're not always right. But I've got a feeling Pat's right about this one. I mean, does anybody look at that move and think, oh, yeah, that makes them more likely to win the Super Bowl? I don't think so. Hey, Rome, let Matt Stafford know that you can do face push-ups. Signed, Orange County Women. Dear Jim, Flacco versus Mahomes. I'll take it. Signed, Andy Reid. Casey, New Hampshire. Were the Broncos making themselves comfortable in the basement of the AFC West? That would mean that the Raiders jumped over them. Hey, Jim, stop it. Signing Joe Flacco is a safe move to make. Signed, people who order chicken teriyaki at a Japanese restaurant. True in West LA. Anyway, February 12th was quite a day for Antonio Brown. That was yesterday. February 12th, he was found guilty of reckless driving after failing to show up for court. He was cited in November for allegedly driving triple digits through Ross Township, Pennsylvania. And then shortly after that news, he jumps on Twitter and says, quote, "Thank you, Steeler Nation, for a big 9 years. Time to move on and forward," with a peace out emoji and hashtag new demands. So that sounded like the tweet of a guy who had just been traded or released. But come to find out, neither of these things happened. He had not been traded. He had not been released. In fact, nothing happened. Nothing changed. He just wants out. So AB may have officially requested a trade yesterday, but he unofficially did it the minute he started to burn every single bridge in Pittsburgh. Remember, he was clowning his head coach on Instagram. He was ignoring phone calls from the owner. I don't want to get too technical here, but I'm pretty sure that when you're out there roasting the two most important guys on the org chart, the coach and the owner, you're probably sending a very specific message as to whether or not you want to be there. And whether or not that message was official or not, you were sending that message. So that continues a pretty horrendous offseason for his rep. You've got one ugly story after another, one reported legal issue after another, and we're still only in mid-February. Listen, plenty of blame to go around in Pittsburgh for this situation, and how things got so bad, how they went so sideways. But lately, even with all that blame to go around, it seems like Antonio Brown is trying to hog it all for himself. That reckless driving charge, the weird tweet, they're not helping his rep. They're hurting it. Of course, the moment a tweet like that hits the internet, then everybody freaks out. You know, is he trying to run a misdirection? Is he trying to get people to look at him? People are reacting. You've got media outlets rushing to put together trades, photoshopping him into new jerseys. Is it the 49ers, the Jets, the Patriots, the Ravens? How about Cleveland Brown, Antonio Brown? You've got one Pro Bowler after another tweeting at him to join them. Yeah, maybe that's what he was looking to get out of yesterday. Maybe he needed a quick hit of that Twitter run, some Twitter love. Because aside from hurting Pittsburgh's leverage in a trade deal, exactly what did that tweet accomplish? What did he get out of that? What changed? Nothing changed from before that tweet to after that tweet. He's still under contract with the Steelers. The financials are still the financials. A trade still cannot be executed until March 13th. So exactly what was he looking for when he did that? What is the need that he was trying to meet? What was the point of that? Oh, and one more thing. Exactly why does Antonio Brown want to leave? There is that part of that. And don't get me wrong. I can see some of this. I can see how he might be tired of some of the guys in that locker room. That it's a room that's got a ton of egos and some guys who like to point fingers but never accept any blame themselves. No names mentioned. The freaking quarterback. I could see how it might piss Antonio Brown off that Ben Roethlisberger cracks him publicly. There's no need for that. Ben doesn't need to do that. I could see how Brown might feel like he gets more blame than he deserves, or how he just gets tired of being in that situation. But here's the thing. He might be tired of being in that situation, but to me, there isn't a better situation. It may not be perfect to him, but there is not a better situation. There's not another team that he could go to that would provide a better situation. Does the guy want to win a ring? The Steelers are in the hunt every single year. The only spot better for him than that would be New England. And there's no way Pittsburgh is going to let that happen. My man, Jason Lockenfora tweeted, they want him, but can't have him. Steelers won't deal him to New England, Baltimore, Cleveland, or Cincinnati. Kind of like how Belichick wouldn't deal Jimmy G to Cleveland. Why the hell would they? Why would the Steelers do that? The Steelers are going to do what's best for them and not what's best for Antonio Brown. Trading him to a team where he could come back and kill them twice a year is not in their best interest. Neither is trading him to the defending Super Bowl champs, the team they have to get through if they get what they want or to get what they want. So, what is this guy looking for? What does he want? Does he want a different offense? There's no other situation with a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing to him and a Pro Bowl wide receiver on the other side of him. I mean, where's he going to find that? Does he want more targets? How many more does he want? Does he want every single pass? I mean, he's making a lot of noise about San Francisco. But does he really think that Jimmy Garoppolo, coming off a shredded knee, is better than Big Ben? Does he really think that he wouldn't be double and triple teamed with the Niners? Again, what's he want? Does he want a situation where the team allows him to come and go as he pleases? To show up late for meetings? Is he looking for a situation where Antonio Brown can be Antonio Brown? Hell, he already has that in Pittsburgh. He can already come and go as he pleases in Pittsburgh. So let's recap really quickly. Ability to contend for a title every year. Check. Teammates, including a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Check. Catching more than 100 passes every single year. Check. Flexibility to be himself and not show up to meetings on time. Or at all. Check. Ability to bail on staying in the dorms during training camp with everybody else and stay in a sweet Airbnb and be dropped off to practice in a Benz. Check. You know, essentially, do whatever the hell he wants because he works really hard and he puts up Hall of Fame numbers. Check. Bad situation. Bad situation sounds like the best situation ever. And Pittsburgh has all that, and nobody else does. But he doesn't want it. Hey, listen, one more thing about this, too. Then you've got the Steelers side of things, right? There are two sides here. Don't think for a second that you can just replace Antonio Brown. You can't. You cannot just replace a Hall of Fame receiver. I know Juju Smith-Schuster is a number one in waiting. I love the kid. But right now, you have two number ones. And while I'm no math wizard, two number ones is better than one number one. So all you fans who want to say that you're better off without this guy, don't. You're not. You're not better off without him, just like you're not better off without Le'Veon Bell. Yet here we are. Here the bleep we are. The Steelers are on the verge of not losing one of them, but losing both of them in the same offseason. So you can next man up all you want, but you don't next man up two of the league's top 10 players in their prime. So let me once again say what I said yesterday. The bridge may be obliterated. There may not be going any back or going back. Maybe they can't. Just don't tell me that the player is better off without the team and the team is better off without the player and they're better off without each other, because they're not. They need each other. You watch. That divorce is not going to work out well for either side. Neither side is better for that. Unless there's something I'm missing, Pittsburgh is the best spot for him, and he's the best guy for them. So get into a room, swallow your pride, sort it out like the professionals you're all supposed to be, and get the hell on with it. Because blowing this thing up is all wrong, even if that's the way it's going to end up. 1-800, that is the definitive bottom line, right? What do you say to that? I had Juju on the show on Radio Row, and I asked him, has the bridge been obliterated, or is this something that you can still fix?
Can it still be salvaged? Can it be fixed?
It definitely can be fixed. It's something that is going to take time, the communication between our head coach to the team. It just takes time, you know. Obviously, the situation towards the end of the season where he didn't finish the season because he had an injury, which is totally, you know, understandable. But I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's staying, you know, black and gold, and he's going to finish out his career here.
How badly would you like to see him come back and be a Steeler next season?
Like, super bad. I mean, he makes the team better. You talk about the first time in franchise history, you do have two receivers go for 100 catches plus over 1,000 yards each. Man, I mean, why not?
Exactly. That's my point. They may have a number one in waiting, but two number ones is better than one number one. So that was Juju on Radio Row leading up to the Super Bowl, but that was prior to Antonio Brown getting on Twitter yesterday and saying, thank you, Steeler Nation. So that thing's done. But he said it could be salvaged. It would just take time. When we return, I'm opening it up to you. Ross Tucker coming up at 40 past. Martin Truex Jr., top of hour number three. John Cooper coming up in the third hour, too. Still ahead. Mike. Michael Jordan met with the media. That is not a very frequent occurrence. And somebody asked him, hey, what's more impressive, what Russ Westbrook is doing or what the beard is doing? And his response along the lines was, what I did. I love it when Mike answers questions the way he wants to. That wasn't the question, Mike. And that's what makes Mike Mike. That's coming up. When you want something at the best price available, what do? Do you just pay it without looking elsewhere? Then you're out and about, and you see that item for less, and you're full of regret. Life is too short for regrets. Don't throw your money away and pay top dollar when O'Reilly Auto Parts guarantees to give you the everyday low price on the parts you need. It's common sense, right? Why pay more when you don't have to? If you can find what you want and pay less for it, it gives you more buying power. And O'Reilly Auto Parts wants you to be empowered by the purchases you make. Stand up and get your match from tools, batteries, cleaning supplies, and lighting to wipers, tires, safety equipment, ATV accessories, and more. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store's price on any like item. So don't be shy and do not hesitate to ask for your match. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at guaranteed low prices. No regrets, no haggling necessary. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Ross Tucker coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. All right, so quickly, Charlotte Hornets owner Michael Jordan met with the media yesterday. That's always fun. That's always interesting. because MJ does not do a lot of that. Pretty low pro, generally. But you've got the All-Star game coming up, and he sat down yesterday at the Hornets facility ahead of that All-Star game, and you knew there were going to be questions, like this one. The one about James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
They all both hard, you know, and uniquely, it shows the talent, you know, that we have within the league. It shows still progression within the league. I'm very proud about what both guys have done because they're making their mark for the league, and I think it really helps the growth of the league, which is harder from a player standpoint.
All right, so the question being, what's more difficult? What's more challenging? Consecutive 30-point games or Russ's streak of triple-doubles? And MJ is very diplomatic, right? Very diplomatic and very respectful in saying that both are really hard. I mean, you knew that he'd like all of you to know that he himself could have done either of those things when he played if he wanted to. Hell, you know Mike. Mike would like you to know that he could probably do either of those things right now if he wanted to. However, that's not what he said. It's always cool to see the previous generation give love and respect to the current generation. I mean, it would be so easy for the older guys to turn that opportunity or that moment into an opportunity to say, get the hell off my lawn. You know, dudes complain that the NBA is so much easier now. It's not nearly as physical as it was back in the day. The guys like Harden and Russ could never do back then what they're doing right now. You know, the old guy to come out and say, they'd never get away with those shenanigans in the 90s. Let me play the entire answer so you understand exactly where this guy's coming from. And then we can just move along. This is what Mike had to say in totality about Russ and the beard and what they're doing right now.
They're all both hard, you know, and uniquely, it shows the talent, you know, that we have within the league. It shows still progression within the league. I'm very proud about what both guys have done because they're making their mark for the league, and I think it really helps the growth of the league, which is harder from a player standpoint. Six championships, by all means.
Roasted! You had to know Mike was setting that up, right? If Mike's going on and on all respectfully about other people's accomplishments and what's getting done today, you knew he was setting that up. To the question of which is more difficult, 30 straight 30-point games or 10 straight triple-doubles, the answer apparently is six championships. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks a lot, Mike. But that was not the question. Phil Jackson's Roman numeral hat thinks that Mike was insisting upon himself with that answer. And you can see how pleased he was with that answer. He reset the question just to set himself up for that answer. He gave a straight answer. There was a lot of words about the game and about the good players today, but really those words meant pretty much nothing because he didn't really mean anything he said. Meanwhile, he's talking and he's talking, and what he's doing is he's loading the cannon. And then he lights the fuse by asking himself a question.
Six championships, by all means.
Boom! And he gets the reaction that you knew he'd get from the fawning media. He absolutely slayed that crowd with that one. There was no way he was going to just sit up there and praise other guys. Not Mike. No chance at all. No way Mike was going to just sit there and respect the beard and Russ. Now, I'm not saying that Mike was there to, quote, de-minimize what those guys have done. I'm not saying that he was going to de-minimize a couple of future Hall of Famers.
De-minimize.
Thanks, Alvy. But there was no way old Mike was going to sit there and hype those two. 45 ain't about that life. Never has been. Nice 30-game streak, James. Oh, by the way, nice beard, James. Let me know when you get to a six championship streak. Oh, hey, Russ, you like triple-doubles. You like triple-doubles, Russ. How about this triple-double? I won a title, then I doubled it, then I tripled that. You know what that triple-double is? Russ, 6 championships. Only thing missing was Shaq. And if Shaq were there, Shaq would be like, tell Mike how Mike's ass tastes.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Tell Mike how Mike's ass tastes. Then again, you knew that was coming. Of course he was going to do that. The answer for him is always 6 championships. Because he's Mike Jordan. He wouldn't be Mike Jordan if he didn't answer that question that way. And don't let that little chuckle fool you. He's not being clever. He's not being cute. He's not being funny. He hasn't mellowed. You see this guy when he went in the Hall of Fame? Did you hear that speech? He's not having a little fun. No, he said that and he meant it. He believed it. You want to ask him about what's more impressive or more difficult? He will remind you that neither one is more impressive or more difficult than winning 6 championships. And the thing about Mike, he's not wrong. Now, it's not the answer to the question that was asked, but it's not wrong. 6 championships is tougher than 30 straight games of 30 points per night. 6 championships obviously is tougher than 10 straight triple-doubles. Kind of reminds me of Jose Canseco when he went 40-40. He's like, if I knew it was such a big deal, I would have done it every single year. And then there's Jose going off on that rant on Twitter, which I may get to later on. Anyway, neither here nor there. And that was not the answer to the question. Then again, for MJ, that's the answer to every question. Like, you could ask him any question, and the answer eventually will make it back to 6 championships.
6 championships.
Like, hey, Mike, how do you feel about Kemba Walker playing the All-Star game and playing in front of your fans in Charlotte? You know what? That's a great question. It's a great question. But you know what's better? 6 championships.
6 championships, by all means.
I got one for you, Mike. If a train leaves Detroit traveling at 60 miles per hour and another leaves Chicago traveling at 35 miles per hour. Oh, wait, I know this one. The answer is 6 championships.
6 championships, by all means.
All right. I get it, Mike. That's funny. We get it. You won 6 championships. Hey, let me ask you this, Mike. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
6 championships.
That's kind of a tough question, right? If your definition of a sandwich involves something that is not bread being placed or stuffed in bread, that would mean that a hot dog could qualify. But at the same time, is a hot dog bun or roll, does that really count? You know, it's convoluted, it's confusing. If I had to guess, I'd say 6 championships.
6 championships.
Hey, Mike, is the ceiling the roof?
The ceiling is the roof.
Oh, no, I got that. 6 championships.
6 championships.
Again, he's right. It is harder. But again, nobody asked for that comparison. It's the right answer, but not the right question. But then he answers all questions with that answer. And you know what? If I had 6 rings, I would too. Hey, Rome, the Rolling Stones or the Who? Well, that's easy. 6 championships.
6 championships.
Hey, don't ever change, 45. Good thing we all know you won't.
I wish you guys nothing but best.
How did you not know that that's where he was going with that? Yeah, because Mike's just going to sit back and say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man, the beard. Oh, yeah, that's so awesome what he's doing. Oh, Russ, one of my favorite players ever. When is it ever about anything other than Mike? Look at that guy. Get some rest. All right, when we come back, Ross Tucker joins us. Notice I've not done any interviews yet, so that means I've got 3 in the second half of the program. Ross Tucker next, then Martin Truex, then an open segment, and then John Cooper. Really busy Wednesday, so let's get you a sports update. Here it is. Rich Ackerman is tracking everything that...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We are efforting Ross Tucker. In the meantime, this email says, hey, Rome, I can't figure out why AB would ever leave such a cush gig. I mean, sure, it sucks getting publicly annihilated by your boss once in a while, but where else can you get away with living by your own set of rules within the workplace? Yours? Adam Hawk. Tyler in Shredmonton. Warn myself and Matt getting double and triple coverage wherever we go as well. It's good job, Tyler. Again, well done. He and Matt are having a big day. Hey, Jim, you got to respect John Elway for trying to preserve his legacy as the greatest Broncos QB of all time. Tobias in Carlsbad. That's one way of looking at it, Toby.
Thank you to John Elway.
Hey, Romy, did you just read an email from somebody saying Bronco fans would welcome Flacco with arms wide open? That's our line. Yours, Creed. War how pure the bat-to-ball contact is in Creed's Marlin song.
Let's play ball, it's game day. We want strikeouts, base hits, double plays.
He's right, Mike in Tampa. That bat-to-ball contact is so pure in that song. All right, as I mentioned, we are joined right now by somebody who played in the NFL for 7 years. He is an NFL analyst. He is the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Got some things to talk to him about. Ross, great to have you back. How are you, Ross?
Jim, I am fantastic. Good to talk with you, and even better to see you in Atlanta.
That was fun, Ross. It was really good to see you. Great to get caught up, and it's good to have you back. Let me start with the Broncos and Ravens. Ross, they reportedly have a deal in place to send Joe Flacco to Denver, what is for to be expected a mid-round pick. Bottom line, is Flacco the answer to Denver's problems?
Wow, that's a good question. I think he's better than Case Keenum. And I'm higher on Flacco at this stage of his career than a lot of people are, Jim. I don't know that I could say he's the answer to their problems. I think a lot of that has to do with expectations, right? I mean, John Elway is a Super Bowl or bust guy. And I think, you know, he's seen what Flacco has done in Denver in the playoffs. He's seen Flacco outplay Tom Brady multiple times in the playoffs. His new head coach, Vic Fangio, was in Baltimore for a couple of years as Flacco, so knows him, and then was the defensive coordinator for the Niners in the Super Bowl when Flacco and the Ravens beat him. So I wonder how much of this has to do with 2012 when Flacco went into Denver and won on the Raheem Moore play and then beat the Niners and Vic Fangio in the Super Bowl. I think he's better than Keenum. I think he's got more left than other people do. I don't know if he's the answer to their issues. I still think that they probably draft a quarterback and maybe high. You think about last year, a lot of the teams did that. You know, the Arizona Cardinals went out and got a guy like Sam Bradford, but drafted Rosen anyway. The Browns got Tyrod Taylor, but drafted Baker Mayfield anyway. I think that's what Flacco is. Flacco is the guy for this year and maybe next. But I still think Elway probably takes a guy pretty high in the draft.
We're talking to Ross Tucker. All right, so where does that leave John Elway? I mean, he looked like a genius when he was able to move on from Tim Tebow. He brings in Peyton Manning. But every quarterback move Ross has made since then has been a bust. How badly does Elway need this one to work?
Pretty badly. Now, he's built up a lot of equity there, as we know, for number one, what he did on the field there, which will never be forgotten, winning 2 Super Bowls, going to 5. But then even since he's been the GM, I mean, they won one, they got to another. And I'll give him a lot of credit for one thing, Jim. Their draft last year was awesome. I mean, you go right down the line, and even Philip Lindsay, the guy they didn't even draft, but Bradley Chubb was terrific. I mean, almost every guy, Deshaun Hamilton had a really nice year for them. He had one of the best drafts, Cortland Sutton, Royce Freeman, I've seen in a while. So I think that really helps them. It is funny, though, in the NFL, you can do a lot of things right, but if you don't get the quarterback position right, it really doesn't matter that much. I mean, you know, you're really still not going to be able to get near where you want to be.
Ross, it is funny, right? You can do a lot of things right, but if you can't get the quarterback position right, it almost doesn't matter. Even funnier when one of the best to ever do it can't get the quarterback position right. I'm trying to get my head wrapped around that. Why is that? Why is he having so much trouble finding quarterbacks when he was one of the best to ever do it?
It's a terrific question. I think the answer is twofold. Number one, I think the position's changed a little bit since when he played. And number two, I don't know that he's doing a great job or has done a great job of valuing the things that really matter. I think he's looked at a lot of big guys. He took Osweiler in the second round, took Paxton Lynch in the first round. Maybe you could say the same about Flacco. I mean, all those guys are 6'6 or taller. He clearly values size. Keenum kind of went away from that. And he values the big arm. And I think those things are great, Jim, but you know, the one thing we're noticing with every passing year in the NFL, it's that size and the big arm don't seem nearly as important as they used to. I don't know if Elway just hasn't figured that out, or he's stubborn, or he's looked for a bunch of quick fixes. You know, he was able to get Peyton Manning, and then every year it seems like he tried a new guy. I'll give him credit for this. He never just says, well, maybe the guy will get better the next year. He gets a new guy every year at this point.
Now, he's pretty ruthless like that. I agree with you. I think it's both those things, Ross. I think that's what he thinks works. That's what worked for him. And I think that he's not changing. He's not adjusting to it. And then that brings us to Kyler Murray, which I'll get to in 1 minute. What about Nick Foles, though? Ross Tucker, my guest. What about Nick Foles? If you were Nick Foles, where would you most like to play next season? And what does this trade mean to him?
Well, I actually think it helps Foles, whether that's free agency and his market, or if the Eagles tag him and try to trade him with the franchise tag. And I'll tell you why. I really felt like, you know, yesterday that there were four teams I felt like were definitely in the market for a quarterback, whether that was a veteran or a first-round pick. And I thought it was going to be the Dolphins, the Jaguars, the Redskins, and the Giants. And I actually thought Flacco might end up going to the Redskins or one of those four teams. So now that Flacco's gone to a different team, I think it just helps out Foles' free agent and trade market, because that's one other big name that teams would be able to sell to their fans that's no longer available. Yes, Case Keenum's probably available now. I just don't think any team out there really thinks that they can sell Case Keenum to their fans. Let's say you're the Redskins, right, or the Jaguars. You can sell Joe Flacco and winning a Super Bowl and all those starts. You can't say Case Keenum's going to be our guy. I mean, you can't say that. So Foles is a sellable commodity, and I think he's clearly the best guy that's out there now. Maybe you could have debated Foles and Flacco. But I got to tell you, Jim, I still think he's going to Jacksonville. I mean, everything I've heard, all of the signs point to Jacksonville. Redskins might draft a guy. Giants probably draft a guy. Same with the Dolphins. I think the Jags are the one team in which the entire hierarchy of the front office, that entire regime and head coach, is on the hot seat. And they have a team that's good enough to win right now, as we saw last year in 2017 when they went to the AFC Championship game. I'd be shocked at this point if Foles doesn't end up a Jaguar one way or the other.
I agree, Ross. I would be all in if I were the Jags. I would do whatever I could. I would be all in to bring him in for all the reasons you just mentioned. Now, as we get closer to the draft and we're talking quarterbacks, there's going to be so much talk about Kyler Murray. As a former offensive lineman, Ross, what do you make of him as a quarterback?
I like him, and I think he's got a lot of similarities to Russell Wilson. You know, I'm not the first person to say that, obviously, but to me, they're the most similar. You know, when people bring up Baker Mayfield or Drew Brees, I don't really see that. I think, you know, he's got a really good arm like Russell Wilson. But what makes him unique at this point is his feet, and not just running, but using his feet to buy time and make plays. I've never seen another guy in the NFL do it like Russell Wilson. I think Kyler can be that next guy. Now, he's clearly smaller than Russell Wilson, not as thick, but I do think he's a little bit quicker and a little bit faster, as hard as that is to believe. I think he's got a very bright future. I think the game has changed, and I know people are concerned about his size, but, I mean, you ever see the Oklahoma offensive line? I mean, those guys are gigantic. Although that would be actually the counter argument, Jim. They had the best offensive line in college football.
Right.
I mean, they literally won the Joe Moore Award as having the best O-line in the entire country. So I wonder how much teams take that into stock and how that will affect, and how does he do if he's taking more hits because he's not behind the best offensive line in college football in the worst defensive conference.
Yeah, I think, Ross, for instance, I saw Russell Wilson in the week of Super Bowl. We talked about this yesterday on the program. Daniel Jeremiah came on. I sat with him in a trailer. I mean, he's thick, right? Now, that's not to say that Kyler Murray can't bulk up and he's young and he'll get bigger, he'll get stronger. But Russell Wilson, he's thick. He can take that pounding. So we'll see whether or not Kyler Murray can. Before you go, Ross, you wrote a piece about Rob Gronkowski. And you were talking about whether or not that might have been his final game. You wrote this piece for The Athletic where you didn't tell him to retire, but you did write about your own experiences with your back surgery and back pain. Bottom line, what did you think as you watched him over the course of the season, and what would be your message to him?
Well, I thought he looked better in the playoffs and certainly in the Super Bowl, but I was on the sideline in Buffalo when he came off the field, and I could just tell that his back was not right. As a guy that's had a back surgery in Buffalo, I could tell that his back was not right. And, you know, my point would just be this, Jim, and this isn't just a Gronk, but this is any NFL player, and especially NFL guy with back issues. He's had three of them. He's had three back surgeries. You know, you don't think about it when you're 24, 26, 28, but it doesn't leave you, Jim. You know, when you're still playing, you look at every injury in increments of how many weeks I'm going to miss playing, right? Oh, torn ACL, I'm out for a year. Torn MCL, it's 4 weeks, whatever. You know, I'll be 40 next month, and I would tell him that, you know, when I go to a restaurant, I'm conscious of where I sit, where I stand, stuff like that, because of my back. And I had one back surgery, and that's at 39. I mean, I don't know how my back and right knee will feel when I'm 49, 59, 69. You really don't think about that stuff when you're in your 20s because you think you're invincible and you're young and you're a stud and everybody loves you. But, I mean, it affects you. It affects you in some way, shape, or form the rest of your life. And I don't think he's not married or any kids yet, but I just look at things so differently now that I do have daughters and wanting to be active with them. I, you know, let's put it this way, Jim, it would take a lot of money for somebody to have to convince me to go back out there and do more damage to my body and brain.
Ross Tucker joining me. I wish we had more time to talk about that. I want to ask you about this. I've got about 2 minutes, Ross. You and I talked on Radio Row in Atlanta. One of the things we talked about was my front page story. What kind of reaction did you get when you mentioned that on the air?
Okay, so I got to tell you this, dude. You're going to love this. So I mentioned myfrontpagestory.com as a great Valentine's Day gift when I came on with you at the Super Bowl. Well, a lot of people got the message, Jim, like a lot, because a lot of dudes ended up buying stories for their wives at myfrontpagestory.com. So many, in fact, that the two guys that run the company were a little overrun in terms of writing the story. So I invested in the business. I liked the business. So I said, you know what? I'll help out. I'll write some of the stories. So I talked to some of these guys, and it was hilarious, Jim. At least three or four of the guys I talked to said, I asked them, how'd you hear about it? Like, oh, well, there was some NFL guy was on with Jim Rome at the Super Bowl, and I heard him on Radio Row talking about this. I never told him it was me.
That's great.
I just got the details on their wife. I wrote the story. I sent it to them without ever telling them I was the NFL guy they heard on the Jim Rome Show. I'm talking about myfrontpagestory.com.
That is awesome, Ross. I love that, man. You jumped in as an investor in the company and said, hey, I can help out here. I'm going to write it myself. Really quickly, is it too late? I mean, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Is it too late for this, or what should they do?
Yeah, I mean, it's too late to have a story in time for tomorrow, but if you just want to give your wife, you haven't got anything yet, you want to give your wife a card and say, hey, babe, I got the best Valentine's Day gift coming ever. It'll come next week. I'm sure they can write a bunch today, tomorrow, over the weekend.
No, Ross, not they, Ross. Not they, Ross. You. You, Ross. Not they. You. We're only doing this if you write the story, man. Ross.
I don't know how many more I can take on, especially I won't be able to do it anonymously now that I just outed myself on your show again.
That's the best. Ross, thanks so much. Great to have you back. Host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Follow him at Ross Tucker NFL and an NFL analyst. Hour number three.